Well, we all got a wish list for Nebraska football in 2022 out of the portal. Quarterback, and there will be more of those that are guys that could come in and play right away. There are fewer pass rushers. Nebraska needs to find an athletic, wreck havoc every single Saturday pass rusher. Is that inside of the program that can be developed? Or are you going to have to go out and get it in a portal? Or is there a recruit out there to get? Because Tanner Morgan was rarely breathed on Saturday. Now, Minnesota might have a gigantic offensive line, but he was very comfortable in the pocket. 16 straight completions. Threw the ball 24 times for 209 yards. Coming in, they'd only attempted it 18 times a game at 52%. Got to make it uncomfortable. And then I would also dabble, and, you know, Will Honus is going to make every available chance to get himself back on the field on rehab. An athletic, and this guy may already be in the program, a Kapai, an athletic linebacker, more athleticism at linebacker where they can cover tight ends and wide receivers. I mean, those are the matchups you want if you're on the offensive side, but they can be matchups that you win if you get onto a wide receiver. If you have to cover a slot wide receiver or a tight end across the middle. That's what would be my wish list out of the portal. But first would be quarterback. I think quarterback, period, whether your current quarterback comes back or not, has to be something to get out of the portal. Or is there a junior college guy that is out there? But whoever it is, they have to be here in January. You can't go get a quarterback and they say, you know what, I won't be there till June. They've got to be here in January. Here is Mike. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Gary Sharp Show on The Zone.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. It's kind of the reason I called. You asked earlier about who do you trust. I trust Ramir Johnson. I trust Allen on offense. That's it, including coaches, everything. Everybody else I trust is on defense. So, and then the other thing I was going to ask about, you think Trev will take into account the recruiting? Because it's looking pretty sad right now. I mean, I don't think I've ever had Nebraska recruiting be this horrible. And they keep hiding behind, well, it's just going to be a small class. Yeah, but, boy, there's no excitement there at all. And it don't look like there's anything coming.
Yeah, it's, Mike, if you're selling hope and you're struggling through a season like Nebraska's having, you're selling hope and you're saying, hey, look at what we have coming. You can't do that. It's a small class. It is what it is. But there doesn't appear to be any right now, I need a difference maker. Now, it could be a class that every single guy hits and they benefit you in 23, 24. But at some point you run out of time. You need guys that are going to get on the field and make an impact for you sooner than later. And I don't see those guys in this class. And another part of this, Mike, and then I'll let you finish, is they've kind of run out of options. Unless there is a wild card out there, is their best option in recruiting to get that guy that can be a difference maker when he walks in the door for 22? Is that strictly as a flip? Are they now in the business of trying to flip kids to come to Nebraska?
I don't know, but there's got to be some excitement in there somewhere. Got to get some excitement into this program somehow.
Yeah, and that's another part. Like, you know what would be a best case scenario for Nebraska in the bye week, Mike, is for some 4-star prospect to say yes to Nebraska, just out of the blue.
Yeah. I wanted to say I'm glad that you brought up the safety. I listened all morning and didn't hear all about that. But that is the one play, Adrian, and I just could not believe it. I'm like, you cannot do that. And you can't blame – everybody's blaming offensive line. He had plenty of time to get rid of that ball that play.
The quarterbacking 101, when you've played a lot at quarterback, that is unacceptable. That just cannot happen in that situation. But it also, you know, there's a lot of part of the little details, but also awareness of where you're at on the field, what point in the game it is. It's just that is, I don't know why that is so hard to grasp. I'm nowhere.
You can't blame coaches for all that.
No, and that's where, you know, I mean, I look at Scott's response to the Yant play, and then I watched him on his TV show last night. There, I would have loved to be on the headset to listen to the coaches when that play happened, because I know even as we were going, get under center, they think they had a, they know they had a good play call, and it was blocked well. But there's no way that they said as they called that play and they counted on zero to get the football that he was going to trip. I mean, some of the stuff you can't make up. Some of the stuff, it is on yourself that you create. But I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22, and it's where Nebraska is. They're kind of stuck right now. But just the awareness of clock, score, position, just that stuff. I don't know how that's not being learned or it's not being taught properly or addressed if it's not being learned.
Or Michigan game, you got the first down, go down. It's okay.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that.
Yep.
But you can't blame the coaches on all that.
No, it's, you know what, there's plenty of blame to go around, and they wear headsets and helmets.
And Trev's got a big decision to make, and, you know, soon. Yep. So it'll be interesting.
Yep. Mike, thanks for the phone call. You play, you're not built to blow people out. You're built to play tight games. That's how you're built. You may still think you can blow people out, but you're built to win tight games. What happens in the West Division? Little details. Purdue took care of the little details. Purdue took care of the little details, and it's not just in-game. It's taking care of the little details before you ever get to the house. They knew what they were going to do against Iowa's run game. That was suspect to begin with. They also knew that to take care of Iowa's defense, and especially that great core of linebackers, short passes, boom, boom, boom. They took care of the details before they ever hopped on the plane and flew to Iowa City. So it's a division full of teams that take care of details, and there is such a small margin in this division that details win. Iowa, for the first time this year, didn't take care of the small details. What happened? They lost because they played a team that took care of it. Awareness, details. It's just, but that is going to circle back to something I brought up last hour. That's all under the umbrella of the winning culture. I'm winning, and I want to win, and I'm going to win because I'm going to take care of this, and I know that you guys over on that side won't, so I'll be fine with that. I want to throw another offensive person who I trust is Sean Becton, tight end coach. But looking into 22, he's going to have a young room that's going to lose an NFL guy in Austin Allen. But Becton, recruiting, coaching, he's a guy that I would trust as well. Who would have ever thunk it that on October 18th, you'd be saying, I trust Ramir Johnson. But I'm with Mike. He's one of the guys that I would put under the in the trust tree on offense. Here is Caleb. Caleb, good afternoon.
Hi, Gary. I had a long drive, so I got to listen to all of your Big Red overreaction.
Yeah.
And your 2-15 record really stood out to me. But one thing I think nobody's talking about, and I haven't heard it, is Frost's poor body language on the sideline. And understanding these are 18 to 20-year-olds, and his body language just shouts to me, I don't believe in you. And I think that's a big deal. The amount of money we're paying him, guys, fans are really critical of PJ Fleck and guys like Tom Allen because they're, you know, over the top and positive. I just don't see any of that from our coach. And I think that's a bigger deal than people would like to lead on.
No, that's a fair observation, Caleb. And we talked about it, bits and pieces on this show. You know, Scott doesn't look like he's having fun. He didn't look like even when they got a lead against Michigan, even kind of in the Northwestern game until it was definitely decided, he didn't look like he's having fun. And I think trust is a big thing with him, and I don't think he trusts all the time his offense. And you could tell that on Saturday Does he trust his offensive line? I think Scott needs to figure out why he's not on the same page with either fellow coaches or players on what they can do well and what he wants them to do. But you're right. Yeah. He's at the end of the day, he's the guy that's in charge of the program, and everybody looks to him. And if you look to him and he looks miserable, even when you're coming back and you feel like, oh man, laid an egg in the first half, going to get it in the second, and he doesn't exude that, okay, I got that smirk, I got a rhythm, I got a little bounce in my step. You're right. It can impact people.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, in my opinion, is if you watch Purdue play and O'Connell and Iowa and Petrus and Minnesota, I think they get the ball out of their quarterback's hands so quick. In my opinion, Martinez is plenty talented, and we know what he does well by now. I think he looks bad because of the situation we put him in. My thought process is get the ball out quick, a three-step drop, that ball's got to come out, and put him in a situation where he can be successful. My opinion, what Frost does and the coaches, is it's their scheme, and their scheme has to work over putting these players in, maybe simplifying the, so they can be successful. And we might not light the world on fire, but I think it just sets up better for the 18 to 20-year-olds rather than the guys we're paying millions of dollars.
Yeah, you know, Caleb, I thought that as well, and I appreciate the phone call. They do ask Adrian to stand there and hold the ball a little bit. We know when production breaks down, when he can't – see, that's what was missing from Saturday. He couldn't run. Now, that'll open up, okay, if your guy can't run, Logan Smothers is that much of a hindrance? Because you didn't have that big scramble. You didn't have that Adrian took off and he's zigzagging down the field 40 yards, which really throws a wrench into the defense on, oh boy, what do we do now? You never had that. As well as Minnesota did a good job of containing and how they were going to attack him, there's still, everybody does that every single Saturday, but there's still that one or two plays where Adrian breaks loose and all of a sudden he's on a run for a while. That didn't happen on Saturday. I think what happens is you will have these slow developing routes that are further downfield that hit. And you say, man, we saw it. We had it schemed. We can do it again. But you have to have consistency. And Adrian wasn't good throwing the ball 20 or more yards down the field. I'm with you, Caleb, and everybody else that has suggested this. The quick passing game. I mean, what Aiden O'Connell did, first of all, he had a playmaker who made plays in David Bell. They went short passes. They got the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Remember, rely too much on the quarterback at Nebraska. Get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible and have full faith in your wide receivers that they're going to get the ball and they're going to make a play in space and they're going to move the sticks. You definitely have those guys at wide receiver. Quick drop, boom, ball is out. Do you not trust the offensive line to block at least 1,001, 1,002? I don't know. That's weird because you're calling plays which you're asking the offensive line to block 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,000, oh boy, 1,004. See what I'm saying? It's a confusing offense.
Feels like if you have an immobile quarterback and a bad O-line, quick slants, easy dink and dunk passing game kind of solves both of those problems. What?
And Nebraska has dabbled in both with Adrian. But can they dabble in both during the course of a game? We're talking about dabbling in both over from season to season. Last year, Nebraska was not allowed by the Big Ten to throw the ball downfield. This year, they have attempted more downfield, and they've had some big chunk plays downfield. There is no denying that. But sometimes because you had that success, you fall in love with it and think it's always going to work. Okay, here's another issue. When has Nebraska had on offense a plan B? Plan A, we love this plan. Dang, those guys are pretty good at defending it. Huh, don't worry. We got a plan B. Let's see if you can handle this. When has that happened where you could see the shift from a plan A to a plan B? I thought Minnesota had a good game plan. And Nebraska kind of played into their hands. But what is happening now is teams against Nebraska, they don't have to bring the house to upset Martinez. they're able to get some pressure in the pocket with only four rushers. I think 14 of the 35 dropbacks Minnesota didn't bring. They brought more than four. Yeah. Mike Schaefer is going to join us at the top of the hour. It's just going to be about his NFL team. I'm just telling you right now. We'll talk about the Vikings. The Vikings have won two straight games where they blew a lead late and they won. And Schaefer told me yesterday, he goes, I'm mad. He goes, 2 weeks in a row, I'm mad that they won. Now, we'll get his thoughts. He was up in Minneapolis to watch what happened on Saturday. ESPN2 will have Nebraska and Purdue. I wonder if the same crew will be doing the game. Brian Custer and Kelly Salfa, they will be doing the contest. And if there will be more camera angles available for this crew if they come to Lincoln. We're back with another Gary Sharp show after this.